If you have a Bible with you, with me, I encourage you to turn to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We'll be starting around verse 15. While you're turning there, I want to call your attention to the fact that what you see here didn't happen by accident. Richard and Carl were out here, I know, all day Thursday, checking out the electronics, getting the wiring, checking the amp, working with the Zoom. It takes a lot of dedicated folks to make things work, folks, and we need to be thankful and appreciative of the time and the effort that these guys have put into making it possible for us to be here. By the way, if you see me take my mask off while I'm speaking this morning, one thing I have not been made aware of was that if you're wearing glasses and you got a mask on, when you exhale, it fogs up your glasses, and that makes it a little hard to read. One other thing I want to mention to you is that we need to be aware of the fact that next Saturday we're going to be cleaning up the highway. We haven't had time to plug that very much, and it's so important that we say to the community, we're going to serve you even if things aren't ideal. So we'll be here at 9 o'clock. We really need as many people as possible, because the more people we have, the faster it goes. And if needs be, Richard and I will do the whole thing. He'll take one side, I'll do the other, but we really don't want to do that. So plan to be here next Saturday, 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock because it'll help reduce the problems with the heat. So we need you, and we hope that you can be here and be with us. What do you think about Peter? When you hear people talk about Peter, what do you come to an understanding? Was he the number one disciple? Was he God? You know, we all have seen the images of Peter with his little book at the pearly gates, telling people whether they can come into heaven or not. Is that biblical? Is that what you think is going to happen? Was Peter the number one disciple? You know, our Catholic friends have taken Matthew the 16th chapter, beginning with verse 15, and have used it as a justification for putting Peter in a supreme position. You can read the passage, but let me read it with you. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, notice disciples, they're all there, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, tell others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say I am? And then we have this famous statement by Peter. Simon Bar-Jonah answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter's response to Jesus causes Jesus to say, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then we're told, and he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Does that tell us that Peter was the first pope? Is Peter in that kind of elevated position? Let me just point out a few things to you. First of all, Jesus is doing the building, not Peter. Did you notice the statement? I will build my church. Who's building it? Peter? That's not what it says. It says Jesus is building his church. He's talking to all the disciples, not just Peter. And the name Peter is important because you have to go back to the original language to be absolutely 100% sure what Jesus is saying. The word translated Peter here is Petros, P-E-T-R-O-S in the Greek. And that refers to a single stone. There's one line there by your foot. Jesus doesn't say that that's what he's come to establish. Jesus says Petra, P-E-T-R-A. What's the difference? Well, Petros is a little stone. Petra is bedrock. Immovable. So what is Jesus talking about? It's the confession that is immobile. It is not Peter. We're going to see here in a few minutes that Peter is not immovable. As a matter of fact, if you drop on down to verse 23, you'll see that Jesus in this very same passage says that Peter is Satan. Peter calls Peter Satan and says, "You're offensive to me." Peter is given the keys to unlock. Peter is not given authority to make up his own rules. So when Jesus talks about whatever you bind on man will be bound in heaven, he's not talking about Peter inventing the rules. He's giving Peter the key to making the rules available to mankind. Every Christian is a Petra. Every Christian is bedrock. Read 1 Peter 2 and verse 5 if you want to see an application of that. So let's follow the life of Peter for a moment and see how he got to be such an incredible power for good. Let me first of all remind you of a couple of things. One, Peter was a fisherman. That's almost as bad as in our time being a school teacher. He was at the bottom of the pole. He was poor. Okay? He was uneducated. He was a fisherman. And it was very obvious to everybody around him. If you turn to Acts 4 and verse 13, you'll see that the Jewish leaders saw that Peter was unlearned and ignorant. I think it's important to realize that one of the unique things about Christianity is that it began with people that were not wheelers and dealers. Unlike Muhammad, unlike Buddha, unlike Zoroaster, Jesus was a carpenter's son. That was not a high-paid occupation. Peter was a fisherman. So how did he get to be what he is, and what lessons does that hold for us? Well, first of all, let me point out to you that Peter had experiences that build his faith. In Luke 4, beginning with verse 38, we see that his mother-in-law was healed. Peter saw that. In Luke 5, beginning with verse 3, we see Peter has a massive catch of fish. Enough that it could have sunk the boat. Now, if you go to Pitcher Lake, you're going to catch a few bluegill, but you're not going to sink a boat. As a matter of fact, when Peter sees how unusual this is, his response is, "Depart from me, Jesus, for I am a sinful man." That was an experience that built his faith. In Luke 8, we just sang about it. We see Jesus calming the wild storm, the sea, and Peter's response and learning from that. In Luke, the 8th chapter, starting with verse 49, Peter heals the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue. By the way, let me just stop here and say, you should have gotten a bulletin as you came in today. If you didn't get see Tracy, she'll give you one. And if you're with us on Zoom, I will mail one to you tomorrow. So you'll have all these scriptures. You can look it up. You can read it for yourself. And then in Matthew 17, you see a fish making a tax payment for Jesus and Peter. I've often wondered what Peter must have done or what he must have felt if he goes to the edge of the sea and this fish comes up and opens his mouth and there's a tax coin in there. What would you think? What has happened in your life that has built your faith? Has this coronavirus thing built your faith? Has it pulled you together with brothers and sisters? Black Lives Matter. Are you looking at the origin of slavery? Are you seeing, as you look at the response of people, how Christianity is the one system that never embraced or promoted slavery? What has happened in your life that has built your faith? Did you accept it? I'd also like to call your attention that Peter doesn't just sit back. He works on building his faith. He works on increasing his understanding. Do you ever notice how many times Peter raises questions for Jesus? Matthew 18, starting with verse 21. Lord, how often do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? Did you ever wonder where that came from? Where did that come from? A little later, Matthew 19, starting with verse 23. Peter says, well, Lord, look what we've given up. We've left all. What do we get? He's asking questions. What is the value of my faith? Have you ever asked that question? Here we are sitting under some trees. And I'm sure there's a few that are saying, well, you know, there's some neat catalpa worms out here. I could be catching bluegill on Pitcher Lake. What do we get out of this? What have you gained by being a Christian? In John 6, starting with verse 66, the disciples are bailing out. People are giving up. Christianity's too hard. And Jesus turns to the disciples and says, are you going to leave too? And Peter says, Lord, to whom should we go? As you know, I deal with a lot of atheists. One of the things that's kind of interesting to me right now is the number of times on the web I'm having people I talked to maybe even a couple of years ago. I had one guy, last time I talked to him was 12 years ago. And his line recently, the last email I had from him was, the coronavirus is making me think maybe you did have a few answers. See, I think it's important to understand that everything that happens in our lives can help us build our faith and our understanding. And then back to the passage we started with. Who do men say that I am? Matthew 16, starting in verse 13. And did you notice Jesus' response? Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto you, but my Father. How did that happen? Is there anything in Scripture that says that God came out of the sky and zapped Peter with belief? There isn't, is there? But Peter was willing to build his faith. He was willing to think back on the blessings he had as a Christian. This is followed in the next chapter, chapter 17, starting with verse 1, with the Transfiguration. See, Peter is gaining understanding. He's gaining knowledge. And then we get to John 13. And Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples. And Peter says, No. You're not going to wash my feet. Why not? What causes that response in Peter? He still had a lot to learn. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. And Peter was allowing the things that had happened in his life to cause him to grow. And let me ask you today, as we sit here under these trees, or at home as you watch your computer screen, what have you done to build your faith? Do you have more faith now than you did 10 weeks ago when this all started? What have you done? You know, we can't sit back and say, Lord, zap me with faith. You know, there was a time when the disciples asked Jesus to give them faith. And what did Jesus say? Open your mouth, here it comes. Read that passage. What he does is he gives them challenges. He helps them to experience the things that Peter has been working on. But then what happens? Then what happens is that Peter falls. And we read a series of events that help us to understand where this fall came from. In Matthew 14, starting in verse 28, we read about walking on the water. And, I've thought so many times about that experience. The Bible simply says he looked around and saw where he was. He'd already taken a couple of steps. What's the deal? Well, sometimes faith is maybe hard to maintain. As we read on in Matthew 26, starting in verse 35, we see Peter expressing tremendous faith. Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And the Bible says, likewise also said all the disciples. What's happening? Well, we all know the story. Jesus is taken. He is beaten. And Peter is following, the Bible says in Luke 22, verse 54, afar off. Have you ever done that? Don't tell me about it. Talk to God about it. Have you ever had a situation where you should have acted and you stood afar off? You know, I really believe that if we were to sit down and talk to ourselves, we would say, I should have gotten involved and I didn't do it. I allowed fear to paralyze me. I guess one that sticks in my mind, I was a college student. And there was this woman with this little dog. And a pit bull came charging down. He'd gotten away from his owner. He had his leash on him. And he's charging at the little dog. The woman turns her body, and I'm sitting and I'm watching. Why am I not doing something? I stood afar off. I did not have enough faith to step in. Fortunately, there was a young man I knew, a Christian, who grabbed the pit bull's collar and, at risk to his own security, pulled the dog away. That happened over 40 years ago, and I still remember it. I still remember standing afar off. I can't criticize Peter. Peter didn't practice social distancing with the enemies of Christ either. Remember what happened in Luke 22 and verse 55? When Jesus is being dragged away to be crucified, the Bible says that Peter sat with the opponents of Christ. And this is the period of time when he denies Jesus three times. In Matthew 26, starting in verse 70, how did he prove his denial? The Bible says that Peter's response to the charges against him was, "I don't know what you're talking about." Well, there's a typical response, isn't it? We don't want to admit our failings. Peter is so human. And he falls. Are you finding some common ground here? Do you find times? You know there are times when you want to stand afar off. There are times when we're accused of being a Christian and we say something like, "I don't know what you're talking about." Who, me? But the beauty of the story of Peter is that Peter is restored. In spite of his weakness, in spite of his denial. And the first incident that to me is a puzzlement is John 21 and verse 7. The disciples are fishing and they're not catching anything. And Jesus shows up and he says, "Hey, try the other side of the boat." If Larry Fox was here, I'd pick on him on that one. But they do. And the Bible tells us that they caught 153 fish. Do you ever wonder why we're given the number? Well, I certainly don't have all the answers, but what is interesting to me is that when somebody says to Peter, "It is the Lord," the Bible says he threw himself into the sea. I've struggled with that. Did he throw himself into the sea because he was ashamed? Is he giving up? Is he suicidal? I have an opinion about that. But what happens here is that Jesus follows this fish catching incident by leading Peter. And did you ever notice something? In verse 15, when Jesus talks to Peter, he uses his original name, Simon. He doesn't say Peter, he doesn't say rock. He doesn't say stone, he says Simon. Why? And Peter responds in a typical human way. "Well, what about this guy?" That's the way we function. We want to compare ourselves to somebody else. What about this guy? See, Peter was never perfect. Even after the establishment of the church, Peter made repeated mistakes. Read Galatians 2, starting in verse 11, and you'll see Peter being reprimanded by Paul because he made a major error. But God takes an imperfect Peter, an uneducated Peter, a poor Peter, a Peter who had fallen, and he uses him to preach the first gospel sermon. So what's my excuse? What's your excuse? You say, "Well, I'm ignorant." Welcome to the club. So was Peter. "I'm uneducated." Yeah, I've never had a Bible class. Not an academic class, no. Everything I know, I've heard from people who knew a lot more than me at church. Everything I know, I've learned by studying God's Word. But I've never attended a Christian college. I've never had a scholar tell me what is right and what is wrong. Most of you know one of my great mentors was a guy named Greg Sterling. He had a PhD in theology. And my relationship with Greg was that we argued a lot. He was poor. He was a fisherman. And he was struggling with his faith. Right up to the time when Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? So you've made a lot of mistakes in your life. Me too. So you're not perfect. Me either. You have some bad thoughts. You've been involved with the wrong kind of people. That's a tough one, isn't it? You've said some bad things about the church. Well, some of you have heard me say some things I probably shouldn't have said about our brotherhood. So what's my excuse? Because Peter did all of those things. You know what the key is? The key is the song we're about to sing. Look at the song. He leadeth me. Let me tell you something, folks. You can't follow a politician. You can't listen to some educated guy on television telling you what to do. We are surrounded everywhere by liars. And you want to see something, just turn on your TV. The only way that you can follow the growth that Peter did and have a kind of relationship that ultimately Peter had with Jesus is to let Jesus lead you. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Think about these words as we stand together and sing, He leadeth me. Let's sing.